This is the Unstoppable Authors Podcast with worldbuilding warrior Angeline Trevina,
planning and productivity powerhouse Holly Line,
and formatting fireball Julia Scott.
Every week we bring you discussions on the craft of writing,
author life and business,
and interviews with some of the industry's most unstoppable authors.
A writer's life doesn't have to be solitary. We're here to bust that myth, support you on your journey, and encourage you to be unstoppable.
Welcome to episode 153 of the Unstoppable Authors Podcast. We are back from our summer break and totally refreshed. And ready to jump back into talking all about indie authoring.
Yes, indeed. I miss this so much and I'm so glad to be back.
I know, we were saying that it's been months. It doesn't feel like it, but it has been.
It's like remembering how to do everything. Hit record, you know. What segments
that's the
use.
Important one.
Yeah, I'm sure it will all just click back into place really quickly. It'll be fine.
Hopefully.
Okay, so as per usual, we are starting with our personal updates and accountability. So because we were going on summer break, we set ourselves some summer goals. So we had a couple of months to accomplish these, guys, so no excuses. I'm looking
wow.
at you.
Can we just, I need to go do something. You carry on without me for a minute.
Oh dear. So anyway, my goals for the summer were to finish The Power of Blood and take time off, both of which were accomplished.
Yay!
So yeah, I finished my book. I think last time we recorded, I was racing towards my editor deadline.
You were like in panic mode.
I actually ended up sending it to her in three chunks over like the first week that I had her booked for. So, but it's fine, it all got to her. And got it back, got her feedback, made the changes, sent it to some advanced readers, and then stopped. It was like, yeah, like a barrier came down and I did hardly any work over August at all, which was the plan. So, okay. I did dabble with a few things. I did some admin and I wrote a short story, but I largely took time to relax and to celebrate my birthday.
Yay, happy birthday!
Which was brilliant. I had a great birthday. I got a guitar. Sorry. Just
and we had cake on Sprints and Giggles.
Yeah, we did. Yeah. So I'm all recharged. Well, kind of. I didn't sleep well last night, but apart from that, I'm well recharged. But yeah, the last week of August, I did sort of pick up the work a little bit more. I wanted to start building some momentum, ready to hit the ground running in September. And so far, so good. So my main goal for September is to get The Power of Blood ready to launch. So I haven't touched it since I finished the edits. So that needs to get brushed off, and it is formatting.
Yay.
So
I like that part.
I know, which is why you're doing it for me.
Yay.
I need to, you know, get my review team geared up and get it to them and all of that fun stuff. So it is scheduled for release at the end of October and is up for pre-order for then. But I am tempted to move it forward if I can just get it out into the world. Why wait if it's ready? I also want to hit the words fairly hard and make some good progress on Felix. So I would like to have something like a skinny draft or an outline. I know. Doesn't sound like me.
You mean plotting? Really?
Yeah.
Goodness.
Yeah. So there is a reason for that. I didn't want to go into masses of detail, but I, after speaking to my interview guest for next week and reading her book, I have kind of been a bit inspired is too strong a word. I'm intrigued. Because And we're going to talk about this later in the episode, but I am trying to be quite strategic with this series, and I want to make sure that I am meeting reader expectations and stuff like that. So, and I have done quite a bit more plotting for this book than I normally do anyway. And because I haven't done any work on it for, I'm going to say about 4 months, maybe five, I think it would probably be a good idea for me to sort of get back into it and figure out where I want it to go before I start trying to write it. So
even if that changes.
Yeah,
exactly. It very often does.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so I do want to caveat this goal with that if it doesn't work, if outlining doesn't work, the alternative is to add 20,000 actual usable words to the manuscript. So that's like my contingency goal. It'll be one or the other.
Sounds good.
That sounds good.
Yeah.
Yeah. So first up, apologies if my sound isn't great. I am actually still away at my parents' house in very, very sunny Devon. So I don't have my full podcasting set up here. So apparently I said that for the summer I was definitely, and I said that word.
Did you use the word definitely? Never use that word.
Apparently I used the word definitely. I know, it's very unlike me. Apparently I was going to definitely finish my next world building guide and get that all prepped for release, hopefully in September. Though I was a bit vague there, so. Now, I haven't quite finished it yet. I do still have a few chapters to go and then the formatting, but it is just a few chapters. So I am totally on track for my September release, which is good because the pre-order is live on Amazon.
You did it again.
I know.
You put a pre-order up before you finished the book. You said you wouldn't do that.
I know.
You're a liar.
Well, last time I put the pre-order up before I even started the book.
Oh my god.
No, I waited and waited and waited until I was absolutely certain that I could make it. So I really am down to the last few chapters now. But yeah, so the pre-order is live on Amazon, and I am neck deep in organizing a proper live in-person real life launch event for it. This is my first actual book launch event, and I can't quite believe it's taken me this many books to do one, but I'm really looking forward to it. And there's going to be like goodie bags and everything. And apparently me, I have to be there as well. So what next? After that book is released, I'm getting back to fiction, and I've actually really missed writing fiction. And I'm really looking forward to getting back to writing fiction again. But I have made myself a promise. I'm not going to schedule a book release for the rest of the year now. And I know that I promised myself things like that before and then ended up desperately trying to hit a crazy pre-order date that I put up in some crazy fit of madness. But I really do want to ease off the accelerator for the rest of the year. So I'm going to concentrate my efforts on marketing because I have a lot of books out. So I can just market them and decluttering our house as well. Yes. And if I do happen to finish the book, because I will be writing, but not in a flurry. Like it would just be casual writing. And if I happen to finish that book, then, you know, I'll release it. But I am definitely not planning to do so. Pinky promise, hopefully.
I'm just waiting for Angeline to get like a winter story idea. And then she's just going to be like, yeah, I'm going to release this winter story.
It happened 2 years ago.
Yes, about time for another.
Yeah, I got the idea at the end of October and wrote it in November and released it on the 1st of December.
Oh my god.
That's... No, I mustn't.
Maybe just promote that winter book this winter.
Yes.
It's a good idea. So my goal for the summer was same as every other bloody month, and that's all I had written down, which obviously meant to finish book three in my trilogy, the original Midorian. And I'm even fed up with hearing the title because it's dragged on so long. I had hoped to come back here to a huge fanfare once I told you it was all done, but it's not. It's close though, so close. And I'm hoping to finish it up in the next few weeks. It's just going to be a big push. I have to push myself. It's a struggle, but thankfully I have people pushing me, Ollie. And some other people who are like, you know, being drill sergeant. But I barely wrote over the summer. It went by in such a flash for me, really. We went to the writers' meetup in Stratford, which was fun. Even though there are a few of us, have we talked about the meetup on other episodes? Maybe we have already.
Okay. We might have done.
I don't know. But I got to spend some time with Holly, which is always lovely. And Angeline was missed. We missed you. But then after that, I got COVID and my daughter was unwell through the summer for various reasons. So yeah, it was rather unproductive, which is a shame, but I do love September for the fresh start feeling. It feels even more fresh start like than January does for me. Probably just because of the way the school year falls in the UK. So I'm raring to go and start achieving things again. And once the original Midorian is done, I'll be focusing on the book formatting formula and putting my efforts into marketing the Mirror Souls trilogy and the formatting book, obviously. So to be more specific, even if they're not really smart goals like they should be, my goals for September are to finish book 3, like actually finish it. This time I mean it. If I come back next month and I haven't done it, I'm leaving the podcast forever. And then I'm going to get it sent to my editor and start working on edits. And I want to have put some time into the book formatting formula and get the ball rolling on that again. So just dip into it to get the feel for it again.
Mm-hmm. Okay, excellent. So that's what we are committing to for September.
Hold on, committing?
Yeah.
Seriously, we have to talk about
I think it was in our last episode, it might have been the one before, we talked about having some sort of consequences for not achieving things, but we then didn't discuss it all summer. So
well,
we don't.
I think rewards are better. I prefer the carrot to the stick.
Yeah. Oh dear. Okay, so Patreon is the next thing. We picked up a lovely new patron just as we went on hiatus. So a big welcome to the party, Meg. It is lovely to have you on board. This means, guys, we have reached our first goal on Patreon.
Yay!
In terms of numbers of patrons.
Yay. Thank you.
Thank you, everybody. So we are going to be sharing the video recording of this episode with our patrons. Hi!
We're waving.
We're all waving.
If you're not a patron, you don't get to see that.
So if you want to see us waving, which is very important, and join in with our monthly writing sessions, sprints and giggles, as well as getting episodes early and hearing our post-recording chats, you can join us at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors. Seeing us waving, of course, being the best thing.
Oh, it is. It's a big deal. You're missing out.
Yeah.
For sure. Right, so on to our main topic for this week. We are back and we have a few slight changes to introduce you to. Each month, we are going to have 3 episodes where we fly solo or have an interview with a guest, all on a related topic. Then a joint episode with the 3 of us discussing that topic and what we've learned from our guests.
That's right. So we will still be doing our monthly accountability check-ins in those joint episodes, and patrons will still get the post-show banter from those as well. But we will be bringing you more interviews and deeper dives on the topics from different points of view and stuff as well, which I think is going to be really interesting.
Absolutely. And we have got some fantastic interviews already recorded. Look how organized we are. Some really great topics lined up for the next couple of months. So we really hope that you'll enjoy this new format and get loads out of it. But today we're having a bit of a gentle welcome back. I certainly know that I need to ease myself back into the habit of podcasting, and my brain is still very much in holiday mode. So much. So talking of holidays, we are going to tell you a little bit about how we adapt our businesses to adapt to just life happenings, such as holidays, which are all important. Because besides authoring, all of us have other responsibilities in life. It might be children or other dependents that we have to care for. It might be our own health needs, our pets, our day jobs, or our education. There's always some real life stuff that's vying for our attention. Damn that real life. Sometimes the business stuff takes precedence, but sometimes the real life responsibilities, that sometimes they just have to be our priority. And it can be frustrating and it can be really bad timing sometimes, but that's just how things are. So one of the joys of running an independent business is that level of flexibility that we have, because our deadlines are our own and our decisions are our own, and it allows us to take a step back when we need to. Of course, there are always unexpected things and emergencies that can pull us away, but our books continue to sell and our automated systems continue to run when we can't be there. So how do I organize my life? Hold on, organize my life? My big responsibility is my kids, and at just 6 and 10 years old, they're a long way from being independent. So I am constantly switching between being mummy and being an author. If my kids are around, I cannot work, and it is that simple. So my working day has to finish at 3 p.m. regardless. And I pick my kids up from school and I just don't get a choice in that. And come the school holidays, working becomes almost impossible. And so my plan every summer, every school holiday, in fact, my plan is to wind my business down to minimum involvement. Of course, I'm notoriously bad at organizing things, as we all know. So I often end up madly working over the summer, squeezing a huge amount of work into about an hour first thing in the morning and then a couple of hours after bedtime. So it's hardly surprising that I usually need a week's holiday to recover from a holiday. And yeah, it's exhausting and it's stressful and it is hugely frustrating. But I keep telling myself that someday, possibly, hopefully, I'll get the timing right and be able to spend a holiday just being mum and not tearing myself in two.
Yes, I think most parents can relate to that. Even if they don't run a business, it's that division of attention. That yeah.
And I have never met anyone who's been like, yeah, I have the balance completely right.
And if they do say that, they're lying.
Definitely.
Oh dear. So my life is a little different from Angeline's. Because we home educate, the summer isn't much different to any other time of year. So I don't suddenly lose my precious writing time because the kids are home more, because they're home the same. But we do have a bunch of activities that stop over the summer, either because venues don't give us the special discounts that we get during term time, or because the people who run the activities do take a summer break. And last year, because we were gearing up to get our extension built, we had to move out of the house. We did take the summer off from all at home learning. So that was a bit different. We had an entire house to pack up and we had to move out at the start of August. So
was that really a year ago?
That was a year ago.
Wow. That doesn't feel like a year ago.
No, it doesn't. I keep looking around the house going, wow, that's crazy.
That is insane.
So that was last year. But this year we did actually do some extra at-home learning to compensate for the reduced activity schedule. But we were only able to do that because I was taking all of August off work. There's always give and take. More of one thing inevitably means less of something else. So going into the autumn, me in particular, but really the whole family, we have this sort of renewed sense of energy. Like you were saying, Julia, it's that I think it's because of the academic year, because it's how we grew up. We're just, yeah. It's the one time that we do sort of follow a school-like pattern, in that we see it as a new academic phase and we look at goals and what activities the kids want to try and topics they want to learn about over the next 12 months or so. So, yeah. And I always... I always have these grand ideas that we're going to do loads of crafts in the autumn. You know, it's the one time of year I actually really want to do that stuff with my kids. So, you know, we've got the harvest festivals and, you know, Halloween and, of course, Christmas on the horizon.
The C word.
Too early.
I know. But, yeah, just, you know, by mid-autumn, that's definitely... on my radar. So yeah, but we also have a little tradition of taking a mini break as a family in September too, to take advantage of the lower crowds and reduced prices. So yeah, it's a busy season, but I also really like to put my focus on writing. Autumn is kind of the peak of inspiration for me, so I always like to plan to draft something in the autumn. But I do also have a habit of launching books in the autumn too. So perhaps I've been trying to do too much in too short a time.
Yeah, maybe you need a whole year of autumn.
Yeah.
Oh, that would be nice. Oh, wouldn't can it? We?
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, I always seem to get lots of it done. I mean, never all of it, but maybe I'd best not question it. It's the time when I have the most energy and can do all of this, and my plate gets bigger, so I can fit more on it. So,
yeah. I think I'm kind of in between both of you, in that I've just come out of a season of the kids being in school, and now I'm going into a season of fully home educating both of them. Last year I home educated one and the other was in school, but my two kids are a bit older than both of yours, I think. So my youngest is 11 and my eldest is about to turn 13, so they are a bit more independent. You can just leave them and say, go do that, I need to sit and write. Whether or not I actually sit and write is another matter. I may just pretend to write and watch Netflix, but you know, it's besides the point. Yes, exactly. It's my creative input for sure. I don't think that's one of my top 10 or top anything, but we can pretend. So yeah, I'm going into a new season of home educating the both of them. So that's going to be interesting. But my tactic, and I've mentioned this before, is going to be putting a schedule together and scheduling time to write. Because if I leave it to when I have time, I'll never do it. Because there's always something else to do. There's always, you know, I am still doing a few formatting jobs here and there, and, you know, the housework needs doing, and doing all the clubs and taking the kids places and all the learning stuff. So I have to schedule it in. Otherwise it will not happen. And I want it to happen. I want it to happen this year because I haven't published anything for ages and I really want to get publishing stuff again. So, yeah, I'd encourage people to think about scheduling as a way to fit it in around other things. But of course, life doesn't always follow a schedule. So you do need to adapt. Thankfully, one of my top 10 is adaptability. So winging it is fine. Sometimes the kids want to go to the park and I'll go with them, and I may sit on my phone and write some notes about my story and just try and fit little bits in where I can. If I've taken them to a club, maybe I'll go sit in the car for a bit to do a bit of writing, that kind of thing. It's just about grabbing the bits of time that we have. Mm-hmm. So yeah
my kids are the same age as yours, so
I thought your youngest was a little bit younger.
He's a little bit younger, but then my eldest is a little bit older, so
okay, it evens out. I'm terrible. I've got a terrible memory, I'm sorry.
That's all right. But yeah, now that they're more independent, it is so different. And we get all our learning stuff done sort of by lunchtime. And then the afternoons, they're kind of free to do what they want. And I get to put my time on doing things like this.
Yeah.
So. Yeah. Okay. So the next thing we're going to talk about is the importance of having a why. So we've just been talking about our limited time and, you know, not being able to fit everything in. So how do you decide what to fit in? What is going to take priority? So listeners may already know about this, know this about me. One of the things that I place a lot of importance on is knowing my big why. Why write? Why publish? Why do it this way? What's at the core of doing this for any writer? When it comes to setting goals and accomplishing them, which is the important part, knowing why you're striving for something is, in my opinion, essential. If you aren't clear on what motivates you, then you're not as likely to accomplish a goal. So not knowing what our motivation is may mean that we set the wrong goals in the first place, or we lose focus and end up going down some other rabbit hole that takes us away from what we truly want. So figuring out your big why and keeping it in mind when setting, reviewing, and working on your goals is really important. So for example, if your big why is to earn six figures for financial and location freedom, then setting a goal to spend 2 years writing a genre-blending passion project is probably not going to get you there. I mean, never say never. The odds aren't good.
Whoops.
But if your big why, however, is to indulge your imagination and follow your muse and thoroughly enjoy the writing process, then that same goal might be the perfect one for you. So what are our big whys?
So for me, the thing that day to day motivates me, that makes it sound like I have motivation every day. But day to day, the thing that supposedly motivates me is, one is the fact that these stories just have to be told. They itch inside of me, and the characters have an annoying habit of keeping me awake at night if I'm not actively telling their stories. And also, I want to leave a lasting part of myself behind for my boys. But my big overarching why is control. I want to feel like I control my life and my own destiny, because so much of our lives are controlled by other people and other systems. And we all have those things that we have to do, and we all have the things that we can't do. And I've spent so much of my life feeling like I'm reliant on other things and systems and people. So as an indie author, I have creative control and control over my business, which I love. And my big why is working so that I can feel in control of everything, so that I'm not reliant on anything or anyone else. I'm just a big control freak.
Yeah, I think part of my answer is quite similar to Angeline's, but yeah, so mine is two part, and I'm different to Angeline in that I'm one of those writers who isn't constantly drawn to write. Like, I could take it or leave it, to be perfectly honest with you. I'm creative in other ways that fulfill me, so I don't need to write, if that makes sense. But the first part of my why, like why I write, is because it helps me to process my thoughts, my feelings, and my experiences. And I guess I hope that sharing those with others in fiction helps them to feel less alone. And the second part, like Angeline said, is to be independent financially. For me, financially independent, I don't want to work for someone else because I don't like being told what to do. And I do feel a huge sense of achievement to be running my own business as well. So that's a big part of it for me.
So mine's evolved over the years, and financial freedom has definitely been a motivator in the past. Currently, the thing that really pushes me forwards is the need to move readers. I want to make people feel things deeply and immerse them in rich worlds with interesting characters. My dream, is to inspire a passionate fandom full of people who write fan fiction and make fan art and cosplay as my characters at conventions and all of that. That would just be amazing. I would really feel like I had done what I set out to do if that happened. But obviously I can't make that happen. It has to be organic, but I can write the words.
Yes.
So, yeah. So based on those big whys, what is the most important action we each need to take to move towards them? Because it's not enough just to have a why. If you don't take steps to actually get there, then it doesn't mean a great deal. So for me, my next goal is to write a commercially viable series and reach thousands of new readers.
Thousands, hundreds of thousands.
Hundreds of thousands would be amazing. But I'm going to, you know, I'm British, so I'm starting realistic.
No,
you know?
You'll have, if you have hundreds of thousands, you'll have at least one cosplayer in that lot, for sure.
Definitely.
So for me, once my trilogy is complete, which will be soon, I promise you, I want to focus on teaching self-published authors the formatting tips and tricks I've learned along the way since starting my business. I've connected with lots of authors on social media over the years who are keen to learn, so hopefully I've got an audience, or at least the start of one for that. And then I really want to focus on a series that is written to market after, you know, all of our chats on this podcast about writing to market. It made me think I really need to think about that. So yeah, when I wrote my first trilogy, I didn't even know what a trope was. So I want to go into my next project with a more educated viewpoint, and which will hopefully boost my success. So those are my action steps.
Yeah, so my next goal is to release my next world building guide. It's that side of my business that creates the income, which allows me to write the fiction that I love, which honestly isn't the most commercially viable stuff in the world. But it allows me to have that creative control. And the next few months is going to be all about marketing what I already have out there. I've just had my brand new website go live, and I'm gearing up towards my book release and launch events. So right now it is all about just being smart in my business. So having my business head on and focusing my energy and my financial investments on the things that are going to give me the biggest returns.
Yeah. Okay, brilliant. So I hope this is helpful to everyone listening and gives you some ideas for how to incorporate your big why into your goal setting.
And we do have to recommend a book about goal setting while we're here, surely.
Do we though? Yeah, of course we do. I wrote one.
Yes, you did. And it's very good.
It is.
I find it very helpful. Going to your goal setting workshop in... was it August? Probably a couple of years ago now. Yeah. that pushed me to finish my book. So if you could just push me again to finish this one, that would be great.
Yeah. Okay, I will mention it. I wasn't going to mention it yet, but I am going to be teaching some classes. I'm doing one. I'm doing a couple of sort of tester things. I'm doing one on setting up automations in email. Mm-hmm. And I'm doing one on getting books to ARC readers. So it's the technical, you know, nitty gritty how to do this thing. But I do want to do another goal setting workshop, but it will probably be at the end of the year for planning 2023.
Oh, don't say that. Don't say 2023.
I know.
Oh, it sounds awful. What? I'm still in 2019. Why?
I'm still in like 1998, surely.
Yeah,
scary stuff. And so talking of scary stuff, it's our would you rather question. Now, I still have a huge number of questions submitted by one of our patrons, Brett. So I'm just going to jump to the next one, which is really strangely related to everything we've been talking about.
Wow.
It's so cool. Weird. And it really is just the next one on the list. So would you rather go to the future or go to the past?
Oh, that's really vague. I have a question.
Do you have questions?
I feel like I should have a question.
Yeah.
My question is, could you be more specific? That's not a question, that's a demand.
There you go, brat.
I would rather go to the future. I mean, I would say that because I'm a sci-fi writer who purely writes in the future, but because then I could look at and see how things have turned out, and if they haven't turned out the way I want them to, I can go back and think, how can I make it turn out better?
Yeah. My question is,
or do we get stuck in the future?
Yeah. See, that was going to be my question.
Or do we just go see it and then come back? I have a question.
Can we influence stuff?
Let us know. Yeah, because if we can't come back, I would probably go to the past.
It depends how far in the future.
How far in the past?
Please don't make me redo my teen years. I don't think I could.
Yeah. Do we retain our current physical form, or do we revert to?
And my word!
I told you it's a vague question. Yeah, the question's too vague, Brett. Come on.
Yeah,
it's not okay.
But
yeah,
assuming we keep our current form and all our memories and everything, and we are like, we are stuck wherever we go, I would, and this is going to be a shock because my number one strength, but I would actually go to the past, and I'd go to about 1990-ish, and I'd make some very, very wise investments.
Yes.
Yes, but you might accidentally make the wrong choices, or the same choices might not happen, but if you're in your future form, you might not end up with like your kids. You might not.
I know, but this is the question we've been presented with, Julia.
It's very stressful. I can't handle it.
But do you know what? Like one of the kind of stories I love are when people go back to the past and they try to change stuff for themselves, but they end up in the same place anyway, like with the same person, even if things are different, like they end up with the same significant stuff because it was meant to be. So regardless of the journey they took there, they're still meant to be. I love stories like that. Fewer decisions. It means you can't mess up your life.
Oh, that's a whole question about destiny, isn't it? And whether we believe in destiny, or do we make our own destiny?
Oh, this has got like,
I know,
the future is not
really
set.
This question.
We just binge watched the first two Terminator movies because it was August 29th is Judgment Day. Yeah. You all know that, right?
Sure.
So I'm thinking about that now. Time travel and changing things. Yeah. So thank you for that question, Brett.
We think.
Yeah. Do drop a comment on a post on Patreon and give us some more parameters to work with, and we can maybe answer differently. So our question of the week is not going to be a surprise. It is, what is your big why? Let us know on Instagram or in our Facebook group.
And remember that if you want to join us for Sprints and Giggles and get all of the other benefits, you can do so over at patreon.com/unstoppableauthors.
And don't forget to share the podcast online and tag us on social media. We're on Instagram, Facebook and Twitter. Just search for Unstoppable Authors.
And tune in next week for my interview with Helen Scheurer on writing in a series. Thanks for listening to this episode of the Unstoppable Authors podcast. We'll be back next week with more of our tenacity and worldly wisdom.
Don't forget to visit our website to get the show notes and heaps of helpful blog articles at unstoppableauthors.com.
And join our Guild of Unstoppable Authors, and you will not only hear from us every week, but you will also get a free digital copy of my book, 30 Days of Worldbuilding.
If you enjoyed the episode, please remember to subscribe and leave a review.
We did do that for quite a while. I don't know what happened, probably me.